Brethren, before we get started, I forgot to put in the bulletin the whoever it is scheduled to do the grass this week. But so just look at the schedule I mailed out. But the cans are full with new gas and everything's running well. You may have a little bit of problem with the gas line on the weed eater. It slipped off at one point and I had to put it back on. So kind of watch that. But everything else is good. So just want you to know that. Psalm 119. Verse 97. Oh, how love I thy law. It is my meditation all the day. Thou, through thy commandments, hast made me wiser than mine enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients, because I keep thy precepts. I have refrained my feet from every evil way, that I might keep thy word. I have not departed from thy judgments, for thou hast taught me. Oh, how sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. This psalm begins, oh, how love I thy law. It is my meditation all the day. It's speaking of all of Scripture, as it's used often in this psalm, doctrine, precepts, promises, all of the Word of God, the whole Word of God. David exclaims here his love for God's Word. Oh, how love I thy law. Strong affection and admiration for God's law. It's my meditation all the day. He thought on God's word often throughout the day. He was in it, reading it, thought on it, meditated on it, was serious and prayerful about the things he read and heard. The Spirit of God gives his saints spiritual understanding and a true love for the word of God. He gives you a love for the word of God. This is the word of our Heavenly Father. This is the word of our Heavenly Father. This is the word of our great Redeemer. This book tells us of the greatness of his person, just how holy he is, and unlike, there's none to compare to him. It declares the redemption accomplished by our Redeemer and how he came and saved his people from our sin. This word is the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. It's profitable for doctrine. It's profitable for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. It truly furnishes us unto all good works. So read it daily. And it's not the amount you read. Read, if it's just a small portion, read it and really think on what you read and ask God for understanding and go with it throughout the day. But read it looking for the Lord Jesus Christ, because he's everything in salvation. Read it looking for him. He is the light of this word. If we're going to have understanding, it's going to be from him. It's going to be beholding him. And it's going to be him giving you that light. So read it looking for Christ. I want to do that now. You remember when Peter preached on the day of Pentecost, he said David was a prophet, and he said his words were Christ's words, and he quoted some of David's writings from the Psalms and said, but that was the word of Christ. So hear our Lord Jesus speak here. When our Lord said this, it's not hyperbole. When David said it, a little bit exaggerated, but not with our Lord. He loved the word of God in perfection. It was his meditation all the day in perfection, and all the night too. Back up there in verse 62, at midnight I will rise to give thanks unto thee because of thy righteous judgment. we're often interrupted by our jobs and busy schedules and things we're doing, and you'd be doing those things, and you couldn't very well say you're meditating on the word of the Lord all the day long. Our Lord Jesus, when he was working as a young person in Joseph's carpenter shop, he was able to meditate on God's word all day. He's perfect in his meditation of the word and his love of the word. We find him in the mount praying all night to the Father. If we study the word of God and learn from the word of God and meditate in it, go to Christ just like he went to the Father. Go to the Lord Jesus Christ and ask for spiritual understanding just like he depended on the Father for spiritual understanding. We learn everything from Christ. We learn everything looking to Christ and how he did everything. We learn he's our salvation and how that he accomplished everything for his people perfectly. And we're taught by him. So look for Christ and ask Christ for the wisdom and the understanding. The Lord Jesus is wisdom. He is wisdom. Hear him right here in verse 98. Thou through thy commandments hast made me wiser than mine enemies, for they are ever with me. As our Lord walked this earth as a servant of God the Father, representing us, his people, he submitted to God to be taught by the Father. Now, his enemies were ever with him. His enemies were all about him, always trying to entrap him, accuse him, reproach him, scorn him. But his Father's commandments were ever with him. Hear Christ speak in this psalm. Look at verse 23. Princes also did sit and speak against me, but thy servant did meditate in thy statutes. The proud have had me greatly in derision, yet I have not declined from thy law, from thy word. Verse 61, the bands of the wicked have robbed me, but I've not forgotten thy law. Verse 69, the proud have forged a lie against me, but I'll keep thy precepts with my whole heart. Their heart's fat as grease, but I will delight in thy law. The Lord Jesus is wisdom. He is the wisdom of God. He's the wisdom for his people. If you face enemies and enemies pursue you, child of God, go to the Lord Jesus Christ. Go to his word and ask him to help you and ask him to instruct you. Go to him. He will instruct you in his word. He'll instruct you to love your enemies. He'll instruct you to bless them that curse you, to do good to them that hate you, to pray for them that despitefully use you and persecute you. And he'll delight your heart in him as he gives you grace to do so. Our Savior is the Word. He is the Word. He gave David these words. And when he walked this earth, the Word that the teachers taught from the scriptures, the word the scribes were inscribing from the scriptures, that's his word. He gave it. He gave it. And he submitted to the Father to be taught, and obviously using teachers. He would go to the synagogue and in the temple, but he had more understanding than vain false teachers and of the true teachers, even of the ancient. He's the Ancient of Days. It all originated with him. Look here in verse 99. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients because I keep thy precepts. When he was 12 years old, Joseph and Mary had, you know, been up to the temple and they were going home. And they went 3 days before they realized he wasn't with them. Did you imagine going 3 days and then realizing I don't have my child with me? They went 3 days and realized they didn't have him with them. And they went back, and it says, Luke 2:46 says, it came to pass that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. He's 12 years old. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and his answers. You can picture him, can't you? Can't you picture him trying to preach from the Old Testament and not seeing the shadow, not seeing the type, and just getting some historical lesson out of it or whatever, and there he sits, who is the express image of everything he's teaching. The Lord Jesus is the wisdom of God. It's the Spirit of our Lord that gives us the mind, the spiritual discernment, and the understanding that makes us wise unto salvation. He comes to us and he answers the question in our hearts, the age-old question. How can a man be justified with God? How can he be clean that's born of a woman? How can God satisfy his justice, manifest his righteousness, honor and establish his law upon guilty sinners like all his people are, and yet be merciful to them and save us from our sin, justify us? How can he do both? How can a spiritually dead sinner, how can he that's be clean that's born of a woman, how can a spiritually corrupt sinner be clean before the all-knowing God? How can he be reconciled to God, brought into communion with God, have fellowship with God in spirit? How can this be? How can this happen? Peter said, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God. Oh, how I love thy law. By the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is grass, and the glory of man is as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, the flower falleth away, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word by which the gospel is preached to you. We're born of the Word, the living Word. So it lives and abides forever. He lives and abides forever. So those born of Him are going to live and abide forever, uncorruptible. He gave us the revelation of His Son. He revealed Christ in our hearts. He commanded us to live and to repent and to believe on Him. And with that command, you lived and you repented and you believed on Him. And He keeps quickening you with the same word, giving you the same command, and He keeps making you leave all false refuges and believe on His Son. That's how he made you clean without using this dirty, unclean thing we are. Paul said, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Oh, how I love the law. The gospel of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death that condemned me. For what the law could not do, and that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. He condemned what was condemning us, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Christ Jesus fulfilled all righteousness for His people. And when He creates you new and He makes you believe Him, it's His righteousness that justifies you from all your sin. This is the good news. This is what brings you to cry and say, oh, how I love thy law. It makes you want to, I want to hear it, I want to meditate in it, and I want to hear more of this one who's done this for me. Christ has made us wiser. You sitting here right now that He saved, He made you wiser than every enemy you have. He's made you wiser than all the teachers and philosophers and ancients of this world, in every religion and all the books. And made you wiser. I'm talking about he'll take a man who never formally educated, who's poor, unknown, and by revealing Christ our wisdom and His unsearchable riches of Christ, He makes him wiser than all the wisest men that ever lived on this earth. Wise unto salvation, because Christ is his wisdom. Paul told Timothy, the Holy Scriptures are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Go over to 1 Corinthians 2, talking about wisdom. We have a lot of books and a lot of things we look into, but I tell you what, this book right here holds all the wisdom. This book holds all the wisdom. And what we're preaching and the world thinks is foolishness, this is the wisdom of God. Listen to 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 6. We speak wisdom among them that are perfect, among them that have been given understanding, yet not the wisdom of God, not the wisdom of this world, I'm sorry, nor the princes of this world that come to nothing. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But, watch this word now, as it's written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him, those he brings to love him. It hadn't entered into our mind and entered into the ear, anything. But it doesn't end there. Look at what it says next. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. He's shown these things to you. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of a man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knows no man, but the Spirit of God. And now we've received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. He's revealed the mystery to you. He's given you the key of knowledge. He's given you the key to this book, and that's Christ. He's made you see. It's all about him. It's all about God's salvation in Christ and what he's done for his people. And these are the things we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches. God's preacher is not going to preach like the world preaches. He's not preaching the same message, and he's not using the same, not preaching it the same way. Here's what we're doing. We're preaching which the Holy Ghost teaches, the wisdom he teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. We started in Psalm 119, now we're over here in 1 Corinthians 2. We're looking at these things in the Word of God. The natural man won't receive the things of the Spirit for their foolishness, neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. But he that's spiritual, you that are born of him, you discern all things. Yet you're not discerned of any man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. He's given you the mind of Christ. He made Christ's wisdom to you. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by what? The Word of God. This is why we love the Word of God. He's brought you to know Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. That's what's made you wise. We have the mind of Christ. His commandments are ever with us. He said, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will take the things of mine and he'll speak them to you. He'll bring them to your remembrance. He's going to keep doing that for you. In every trial, we've got God's testimony. We hear his word concerning his son, and he tells you not only what to do in the trial, he tells you what to hope for. He tells you, Christ said, be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. Trust him. He's going to bring a good end out of whatever he's working in the hearts, in the midst of his people. So we look to Christ. We ask Christ to help us as he commanded us to. We depend upon his strength as he commanded us. We pray for one another as he commanded. We go in the way that he instructs us as he commands us. And we wait on the Lord to work as he commanded us. This is what makes you wise. You have Christ for your wisdom. You are looking to him and know he is able and he will, as he's promised, work good for his people. Now, as the Father taught our Savior, as he trusted the Father and the Father taught him, the Lord's going to teach us. He's going to teach his people. Look at verse 101. I have refrained my feet from every evil way that I might keep thy word. I have not departed from thy judgments, for thou hast taught me. Our Lord Jesus refrained his feet from every evil way. Absolutely. He refrained his feet from every evil way all the time in perfection and in perfect righteousness. He kept God's word perfectly. That's why he is our righteousness and he is our holiness, in whose blood and through whose blood we've been born again and justified and made holy and righteous and accepted of God. because he did this in perfection. But look how the Lord taught David. Because he was David's surety, he taught David. And God our Father and his Son will teach each one of his redeemed, and he will continue to teach you. This was David's way in the main. I mean, as far as a child of God is concerned, this was his usual course, and it is ours too. But only our righteous Redeemer did this in perfection. Only the righteous Redeemer could say, I have refrained my feet from every evil way that I might keep thy word. I have not departed from thy judgments, not in any variableness, neither shadow of turning. That's what we have to have. That's who Christ is. That's why we have to come through faith in him. Now, David, nor us, can say that absolutely every moment of our life. We can't say, I have refrained my feet from every evil. We'd be lying. We've heard David confess to God in this psalm. In verse 25, he said, my soul cleaveth unto the dust. Quicken thou me according to thy word. He said, I've declared my ways, and thou heard me. Teach me thy statutes. He said in verse 36, incline my heart unto thy testimonies and not to covetousness. Turn away mine eyes from beholding vanity, and quicken thou me in the way. But now, as a loving father, because David was his child, the Lord chastened David. He chastened David. He quickened him. He corrected him. He answered that petition that David asked for. And he turned David, and he brought David to Christ, and he brought David to give all the praise for this to the Lord. That's what David's doing. He's not praising himself. He's praising the Lord for what the Lord's done for him. In verse 67, he said, before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I've kept thy word. And that's what he's saying right here in verse 101. This is the peaceable fruit God worked in David after afflicting, after chastening. I've refrained my feet from every evil way, that I might keep your word. Though he had gone astray, he didn't utterly fall away. The Lord kept him. I've not departed from thy judgments. That's a great blessing that you can stumble and fall and yet not depart from Christ and his judgments and his gospel. Verse 58, I entreated thy favor, your grace, with my whole heart. Be merciful to me according to your word. I thought on my ways, and I turned my feet unto thy testimonies. I made haste and delayed not to keep thy commandments. And God worked repentance in him and faith in him. That's the chastening of God. Always profits in this way. God made David lay aside the sin that beset him, and he made him make straight paths for his feet to Christ, his righteousness. And he put him back in it, turned his feet back into God's testimony, back into the way, and made him run the race set before him, looking to Christ Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And that's what God does. And when he's brought you through that and just worked that in you and renewed you in it, you exclaim with all your heart, oh, how I love your gospel. It's my meditation. It's all I can think about. Because of what you've done for me. Because of what you did for me. Brethren, you know, obey every word of our Lord. And it's better to obey him no matter what it costs you. Because it's costly not to obey him. It'll cost more for not obeying him. But you're not going to obey him. You can just bank on that. You're probably not obeying him now. But you know he will keep you. He will bring you to him, and he will bring you to ask mercy of him and ask favor just like David did, and he'll quicken you, and he'll turn you, and he'll keep you. And when your brethren sin, this is what we were looking at this morning, when your brethren sin, flee the lust of the flesh to exalt yourself. That is a lust of our flesh. To exalt ourselves, to murmur, to dispute, instead of going to Christ and trusting Christ in his judgment and being quiet and minding our own business. Flee the lust to use gospel precepts to whip one another. This is just, I need this, you need this, we need this. We need to be taught this, brethren. Instead, go to Christ and ask for mercy. Go to Christ and ask mercy for His sake. Ask the Lord to quicken you and teach you, just like David did. Here's what we're asking Him to keep us remembering. Colossians 3:11, Christ is all and He's in all. He's all and He's in all our brethren. He's in our brother. He's in our brother. He's in our sister. He's all and in all. So put on, therefore, as the elect of God, as one He's already chosen, one He's made holy, one that He's beloved from eternity and everlastingly loves. Put on, therefore, bowels of mercies. This is what David's asking for. This is what we're asking for. Rather than the lust of our flesh. Put on bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. I mean, we came into the world with our heart's enmity against God, and that's the same as murdering Him. And He forgave you. He forgave you. Surely, knowing what all He's forgiven us, seeing our sin and knowing what all He's forgiven us, surely that'll constrain us by His grace and mercy to forgive freely, like He forgave us freely. You didn't have to come to Him and ask Him to forgive you. He already did it for you. He drew you to Him. He drew you to Him and gave you faith to ask forgiveness. So you forgive as He's forgiven you. And above all these, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you're called in one body. Be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. The best admonishment is the gospel of God's grace. It's the goodness of God that leads you to repentance. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. That's what David's doing in our psalm. I want you to see this. But go back there to Psalm 119. This is what he did. He gave God the Father all the praise and all the glory in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. In verse 102, he said, I have not departed from thy judgments, for you taught me. That's what I titled it, for you have taught me. God has taught me. That's the only reason he said I didn't depart. See, he's not glorying in what he did. He's not saying, oh, I've been mighty doing this. He's saying, Lord, you did this. You taught me. I was cleaving to the dust. Now, in closing, the Word of God, brethren, is food for our souls. It's food for the new man, food for the spirit. And by God's grace, this is where he brought David all over again in verse 103. He said, how sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Jeremiah said, thy words were found, and I did eat them, and thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. Peter said, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. If so be you've tasted the Lord's gracious, to whom coming? Come to Him. As to a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. Job said, I have esteemed thy words, the words of your mouth, more than my necessary food. I esteem the words of your mouth more than the food on my dinner table. It is more necessary for our souls than the food on our dinner table. Christ nourishes our souls. Why would we go anywhere else? Listen, Colossians 2:19 says, Christ is the head from which all the body, that's me and you, by joints and bands, having nourishment ministered and knit together, increaseth with the increase of God. And the nourishment Christ is ministering to us is the gospel. The gospel of his person and his work and his ongoing continued salvation that he's accomplishing. That's how he establishes our heart in holiness. He's increasing his love in our hearts. He's establishing us in faith in Christ. He's growing us in his grace and his knowledge, making us know how he's gracious and how he, in his perfect knowledge, is saving us the whole way. And so, as Isaiah 26:8 said, he makes him to be the desire of our soul. He said, the desire of our souls to thy name, Lord, and to the remembrance of thee. That's what David said in verse 27. Make me to understand the way of thy precepts, so shall I talk of thy wondrous works. That's what David's doing through this whole psalm. He's talking about what the Lord did for him. See, the word, this word right here, holds the cure for every sickness we have. It doesn't matter what it is. And it's Christ, the balm of Gilead, who is applied to us by Christ the great physician. That's the cure for every problem. That's why his chief command, and it's the command that's in every other command in this book, is come unto me. Come unto me. I'll give you rest. I'll save you. I'll save you. That's the command. And that's every single time we just get it all complicated. What we're going to do, how we're going to fix it. You're not. I'm not. But what Christ will tell you personally and command you personally is come to him. That's who's the head. That's who's going to nourish to you and minister to you and feed you. And that's who's going to do it in each of his saints. And he's the only one that's going to work it. We love the word because when he makes the commandment come, when he speaks and corrects and chastens, sin revives. We see our sin. And it kills our flesh. We die. Our goodness dies. We see the end of all perfection in us and in men. And we die. We die. But he's renewing our inward man to see to the end. We see to the end of all perfection. We see that broad commandment, exceeding broad, but we see Christ, who's the end of the law, who is righteous enough to as broad as that exceeding broad command of God. And his righteousness covers us, and his righteousness saves us. And we cry out when we're shown our sin and shown Christ in the light of Christ and his grace and righteousness freely given to us. We say like what Paul said. Paul said, wherefore the law is holy, and the commandment is holy, and it's just, and it's good. He said, if then I do that which I would not, I consent to the law, it's good. He taught me. You taught me, Lord. You taught me. And so we glorify God then, verse 104, through thy precepts, I get understanding. Therefore, I hate every false way. Christ is the way. The way. He's the truth. He's the life. And every other way is a lie. Every other way is false. Moment we look to ourselves, moment we commend ourselves for our wisdom, our righteousness, our sanctification, our redemption, we've gone out of the way. Gone out of the way. But the Spirit making us behold him and bringing us back to see him, turning our feet back to God's testimonies to hear his Son, that's where he brings you, just like he did Job. And Job said, I abhor myself. I abhor myself. I abhor myself. And I repent in dust and ashes. What does that mean? That means I'm nothing but dust and ashes. I repent of any good, all good in me. There is none. Not any. Not any. Christ alone. Christ alone is my way. And every other way is false. And we don't hate every false way like Well, I mean, we can't say that like Christ could say that either. There is a sin nature in you that loves every false way. There's a sin nature in you that loves sin and hates righteousness. But he keeps in that new man, he's going to keep your new man hating every false way, beginning with you. Beginning with you. But he promises in his covenant he'll never forsake his blood-bought child, and he'll freely provide all our need, and he proves it over and over and over to us. He'll never leave us. He'll never forsake us. He's going to provide for us. Even when he's doing this and afflicting you and showing you to heed his word and believe him and follow him, he's doing what's needful for you. And so he brings you to be content. You stop murmuring and disputing about his providence and trying to get out from under it. And you're content because it's working good for you. Paul said, I've learned, he wrote this from prison, I've learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound everywhere and in all things. I'm instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. What we need more than anything else is what David prayed there in verse 18, open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. There's no better way, brethren, to spend our days than in this book right here. Turn off the internet, turn off Facebook, turn off the movies, the news, all the junk, and get in this book right here. And go to God. You know, I'm the world's worst. You know, you start reading the Word, and then you start looking at old dead preachers and trying to see what they said about it. Go to the one that wrote it. Go to the one that wrote it. Go to the one whose Word it is, and ask him to give you understanding on it. He will. He will. And then, you know, when you hear the gospel, go study it. Go study what you heard. I'm nobody. I'm nothing. I'm nobody. I'm a clay pot that my mama named Clay. But I know this. God's going to bless you through the minister he's given to minister to you. He gave those dead preachers to the people in their day, and many of them rejected him for the dead ones before him. He's going to teach you through the ministry he gives you. I'm nobody, and I'm not trying to exalt myself, but I'm saying that's what he's going to do. And I've tried to post everything I've preached. I've tried to encourage you to go online and read the notes. I send them to you. Much of you get them, and I send them to you. Study it. Meditate on God's holy person, on his son, on the redemption he's accomplished, and look at the word and everything that he says in his word. Do it. That includes long-suffering and mercifulness when your brethren don't do it. You know, I have a brother down in Missouri, just had to have his leg amputated from the knee down. My dad, not long ago, had his big toe amputated. You know that was the very last procedure that they resorted to. They didn't cut off right off the bat. It went a long time before they cut that member off. When your body's suffering, and just about every member of your body's going to suffer at some point, you don't just right away just cut it off. Might have nothing to do with it anymore. You put more abundant honor on it, and you give it more attention. And that's what we're to do for one another. He'll keep us from forsaking his judgment. He'll build us up into him in all thing, and he'll make you comfortable. He'll comfort you. That's what we're to do. Speak comfortably to God's people. Speak to their heart. They got enough of this world and their own shameful sin and the things going on. They got enough of that bringing them down to the dust. Speak comfortably to them. David said, this is my comfort in my affliction. Your words quicken me. They quicken me. Why? Why all this? How do you know that the Lord will do all this? For those little words right there, David said, for thou hast taught me. God will teach his child. Amen.